Hey everyone, this is Dina Jones, one of the founders of Joe Bean Roasters. At Joe Bean, our mission, Coffee That Lifts Everyone, is about giving selling power back to coffee farmers, as well as purchasing power into the hands of our customers. Through our network of farmers, we're able to bring you naturally grown, amazing coffee directly. Our long-term farming partners negotiate pricing based on cost of production, as well as quality of product, not on fluctuating, unpredictable market prices. This enables them to create thriving businesses with bright futures. And our customers get empowered knowing exactly who grows their coffee and how, as well as knowing they are a part of a new, sustainable, global coffee network. To try our coffee, go to JoeBeanRoasters.com and be sure to check out our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription to receive a rotating selection of single-origin coffee delivered right to your door. Thank you to all our Rochester friends who have supported us and our farming partners so wonderfully over the years. You are making a difference with every bag.
I'm Chris Lindstrom, and this is the Food About Town podcast.
Rochester? Well, why Rochester?
Chris Lindstrom was a hoot. He was just so much fun. He never stopped talking. I mean, it was great.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
Because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
And we are back with another episode of the Food About Town podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lindstrom, and it's a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. And I'm here with a friend and somebody who makes some of my favorite food in Rochester. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Yunzhi Yan. I'm the owner of Seasons Noodle.
Well, Yunzhi, thank you so much for coming over on a Sunday. And I'm kind of excited to talk about like where things have gone since the last time we talked. Because last time we talked, you were over on Chestnut Street.
Yes.
And now you have moved, so why don't you tell everybody where the new location of Seasons Noodle is and where they can check out the information online, and then we'll dive into all the other stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So right now I'm at 240 East Main Street, which is the Sibley building.
Yeah, so you're right there in the Mercantile on Main in the Sibley building, and how can people find you online?
Oh, my website stays the same.
So is that seasonsnoodle.com?
Yes, exactly. I think I already update the address there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's a... So when we talked last time, you had been set up for a little bit and trying to figure out how to, you know, get more people over to what was a... You know, I'll say, you know, I think we've had the conversation, but it was one of the hardest locations in Rochester. I've been to many different places of, you know, different backgrounds, and that location was really hard. It was, the signage was difficult, location was hard, parking was hard. It's just a difficult location, even if you're making great food, which you are.
Thank you.
So let's talk about, like, from the last time, you were working through that whole process of how to make that other location work.
Yes. So the new location is very different from my old one. It has an open kitchen, which means people can actually say I'm working there. There's more traffic as well.
Yeah, because the old location was, it was hard for people to find you.
Yes, exactly.
And I know you worked really hard to try to make it, to make people know where you were, but it was very hard.
Yes.
And I know you tried lots of different things.
Yes,
so
I
like,
did.
That had to be kind of frustrating to go through that whole process making really good food and people not knowing where you were.
Yeah, so it makes me kind of feel that I'm doing like an online business because
yeah.
I spend like not most of my time, but like half of my time trying to advertise myself. I even try to tell my customer where to find me. Even if they know me, they had a hard time to find my store.
Yeah.
They need directions.
Yeah, and then your name was getting out more because you were making noodles for other places too. People knew the name of your noodles, but they didn't know where your store was.
Yes, exactly. So I'm really happy because now when I receive a phone call from a new customer, I can just tell them, like, I mean, the Sibley building, and they will be like, oh yeah, I know that place. I'll say, yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah.
In the Mercantile.
So let's kind of go back. So you had been at the the building on Chestnut Street for how long before you moved?
For 5 years.
5 years. So, I mean, one, it's a pretty good run at that location. It's a lot of work, a lot of struggle. What was, when you were, I know you were looking at different places, looking at different opportunities. What was, you know, when you were looking at different places, what was it about this place that seemed like a good fit for what you were doing?
I would say the first thing is that I didn't want to be too far away from my original place.
Mm.
Because so my customers, they'll only be, feel too hard to adapt to my new location. So
especially downtown customers, like they want to stay downtown.
Yeah, exactly. So right now I'm only like a 2 minutes walk from my old place. So that makes this new place very ideal for me.
Yeah, and also, like, now you're in a whole group with other people that there's, you know, that side thing where people will see you.
Yes.
And I think that was the one of the hardest things about the old location is that nobody saw you on accident.
Yeah, exactly.
They only came to you on purpose.
Yes, that's right.
So I know you were looking at other locations. Was there other places that kind of were appealing that just didn't seem to work out?
At the time when I was looking for a new place, I would say no. I don't know why, but I didn't find many available places.
Mm.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, this is a big move, right? Because this was your first thing here in Rochester. You know, and you can go listen to the story on our prior episode about Yunju coming to Rochester and everything. So getting the opportunity to be there. And that, you know, that area, that Mercantile on Main, is changing too. Like, a lot of the vendors have changed out in the last 2 years as, I think, you know, downtown is settling down. It's becoming more consistent. Was that something that was interesting to be around other restaurants and restaurateurs that are doing good work?
Yes. Actually, it's interesting because I used to work alone, as a restaurant owner, like I made my own business and that's it. Like, and now I mean, I'm a one of a group of restaurants. I will work together. We'll talk together. We'll like try to do events together. And I can feel that, especially everybody have the dream to make downtown become better. Like, more attract more traffic to downtown, and that really feels good because that makes me feel that I'm not only mind about my own business but also do participate in the community.
Yeah, and I think the people that are around you there, there's some really good restaurateurs too, especially with Janine and Tim, who are, you know, owners of Avino, and I think the episode I recorded with Tim will be out before this. You know, with they own Avino in Brighton going into Pittsford. They own the La Bola, the Frenchman Street, and the event space in that same building. I mean, being around them is a great resource to learn how they've been successful for a longer time and built out more things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I learned a lot from the people around me. Like, we had our vendors meeting like regularly, and everybody got a chance to talk about the ideas about what we're going to do, what's going to help everybody, and I learned a lot from that.
Yeah, it's, and I think that's one of those things that it's hard to describe to somebody if they haven't been involved in a business before and haven't done things like this. Like, I've never been in the restaurant business, but I grew up in a small family business. And it's hard, right? It's hard all the time. And having other people around that have done it successfully and built out multiple places and different concepts and understanding what it takes is, and having somebody that knows the same struggles,
yes,
that understands it, and having that resource, especially since you've been very solo,
yes,
has to be kind of a, like a little bit of a weight off your shoulders, yeah, to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, of course. Yes. I agree.
And, you know, Tim and Janine are a wealth of knowledge, and having that event space around the corner is really cool too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like it. Yeah, this is, so you've been there in that area for how long now?
Oh, in my new location?
Yeah.
Since June. Yeah, since June. So three, 4 months.
Okay. Yeah. How's it going so far? How's it getting people to get to know where you are now?
Yeah, it's good. And I go to hire helper to help me in the kitchen. So yeah, a lot of new stuff I got to learn.
Well, that's a big thing, right? Because exactly. Like you've been doing this very solo.
Yes.
You know, with help from your wife over here. But I know that kind of work, doing something solo, is very difficult.
Yes.
And then now you have to learn how to hire somebody, how to get the right person, and how to manage.
Yes.
Which is a very different skill than making food.
Yeah, of course. And also, especially during the lunchtime, the mercantile on me is is a fast paced environment.
Yeah.
Like there'll be people who work in downtown, they want to grab something quickly and eat and go back to work. So it's different from, it's totally different from what I used to do in my old location, that people are willing to wait for me and usually come during dinner. And now I have to make food tasty and fast.
Well, it is an interesting challenge, right? Because like, and it's not to say you're not doing a lot of the same things, but you have to learn new skills.
Yes.
So how have you thought about doing, you know, separating what you do for lunch versus what you're doing a little bit later in the day? How have you worked through that? What are the kind of things you're doing now?
I think the first thing I did is to hire somebody to help me.
Yeah.
That's really important. And so because of that, I can start to like separate my original work into two people's work, which is going to greatly reduce the preparation time.
Yeah, so now you can, you know, somebody can be just running the walk or doing those things while somebody else is working with the customers or doing prep work or other things.
Yes, exactly.
So how does the lunch menu, is the lunch menu very similar? Is it like completely different offerings? What kind of stuff are you doing now?
Oh, we have the old menu is still there.
Yeah.
And because now I have helper, I have like more better equipped kitchen.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing more food to my restaurant. Because back in 2018, when I opened my first restaurant with my together with my parents, which was a dumpling house. So I always want to add more like dumplings and other handcraft dishes to my restaurant, which I cannot do that because I don't have enough manpower.
Yeah.
And that now I can start to work on that.
Well, and I know that's, you know, was a big part of like your family's restaurant,
yes,
which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, you know, having eaten there, you know, those style, you know, Northern Chinese style dumplings are very, very comforting, very, very hearty, just good food, you know, especially in the middle of the day, just like easy, you can eat and just like, oh, it's a very satisfying, satisfying meal.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's talk about the kitchen for a second, because I know at your old location, you were kind of constrained. You didn't have a lot of space.
Yes.
How is the equipment set up? Did you get a chance to set up the kitchen in the way you wanted to, you know, make it efficient? Or did you have to kind of fit within what was already there from the C team and broth that was in the same location?
Yeah, so luckily for me, because broth, they make pho.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of rice noodle soup.
Yeah, Vietnamese soup, and a great, you know, one of the world's great soups.
Oh, yes. So I can use most of the equipment they left.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's like, if you had to take all of it out and reorganize, that would be a very different effort than, you know, mostly using what's there.
Yes. Yeah, so to my surprise, I didn't spend that much time to reorganize the kitchen.
Mm.
It actually fit pretty good for me.
Yeah. Have you started doing soups and stuff too, or is it...
I did a lot of experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of experiment because I know that... The restaurant before me used to be the C team. They used to make very good soup,
yeah,
and they're very popular among downtown customers. So I want to make something that have the same level of quality.
So when you're testing, have you made soup or do you have that on the menu right now?
Will be on the menu. Not yet. I'm waiting for.
So what are the things you're experimenting with right now? What kind of soups are you trying to test out or stews?
Oh yeah, well we'll do beef soup for sure.
Yeah,
very popular. A chicken.
Okay,
a chicken one.
So is this more like I know, and I'm trying to remember regions, and that's where I'm gonna fall off. But is this like beef leg soup, like shin soup?
Kind of. You can look up for the Taiwan beef noodle soup.
Yeah,
it's a very popular.
Yeah, style. No, it's a great soup. It's very very clean and satisfying without being too heavy.
Yes.
It's not like a thick beef stew. It's rich because it uses working muscles.
Yes.
Like leg muscles or other things like that that are very well worked and have a lot of flavor. But, you know, if you had them whole, they're very tough.
Oh, yes, yes.
So that is an amazing soup. If anybody hasn't had those like beef noodle soups, they're really amazing. I think that'll be a great offering too, once you figure out the little details.
Yes, yes. And also we're going to provide the vegetarian soup as well.
Nice.
Use multiple veggies and make a soup.
Yeah, I think that's a great offering too for a downtown location that needs something quick. Once you have it done, scoop.
Yep.
See you later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, it's important to find the balance between cook good food and be fast.
Yeah.
Because the customer, they need both.
Yeah, because it's a different challenge, like you said, and has more of, you know, it's only been a few months, but have you found that it's more lunch now than it is later?
Yeah.
So are you still open at dinner time? I don't know what the hours are in the Mercantile. How does that work?
It's changing.
Yeah.
It's changing because like most of the restaurant there used to open only for lunch, but we're changing. We want to, everybody want to start doing business during dinner time.
Yeah.
So it's changing.
Yeah, because I know La Bola is open,
yes.
But I don't think anybody else was really open past like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Right now, the routine, which is a salad bar, and the Raison, which is a pizza shop, they start to open for dinner.
Okay.
On Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Well, I think that's a good start, right? Starting to get people to know that, hey, you can come in for lunch, you can come in for dinner, and then hopefully, you know, as the word gets out, that more people are willing and interested to come work at that time.
Yes.
Now, you know, the hours, you know, since it is kind of a lunch forward place, does that change the hours you're open as well?
Yes. But I mean, honestly, I want to go back to my old hours because I do have many customers that they want to come for dinner. They want to take something to go and share with their family. So I really want to go back. I'm working very hard on this.
So you're working hard on it, but yeah. I mean, it kind of has to be a little bit nice sometimes. Like, I can be home at a reasonable hour and spend time with my wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every so often I feel that too, is like, oh, I did 3 hours of interviews tonight, or I was working late, or I had to go to an event. Like, oh, it's nice to come back and actually spend time with my wife and be, you know, be a person and not just a personality or a business person.
Yeah, that's so true.
So, you know, working through the soups, I mean, I think that's a great idea, you know, balancing the hours. I think the whole building is really interesting too, because downtown is changing, like you said.
Yes.
And you've seen a lot of change.
Yes.
Since you opened downtown, because you opened Seasons in what, 2021?
2020.
2020. So like you've seen downtown go, you know, down to very little.
Yes.
And then seeing it start to build up. What have you seen, you know, while you've been observing downtown?
One thing I can say that there's more apartments, like, and definitely more restaurants are opening. And I can feel that there are people that care about downtown, and they want to bring people back to downtown, make it more attractive.
Yeah.
Because I surf on internet, like looking for like old photos, old videos of downtown Rochester back in 1980, 1970s. It's totally different.
Yeah.
And There are still people that are, they remember their childhood in downtown Rochester. Like I used to have my first employee, she already left, but she told me that she used to visit the Sibley building every week with her mother because it was a department store.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was a big one too. Very, very big.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a lot of good memory about downtown. So I think that is what people are trying to work on to make it more attractive, to make it beautiful, to make it a place that other people all around the region want to go and visit and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, and you're seeing the little changes too, yes. Right? You know, the development of the building on the corner of Clinton and Main. You know, that building that has been, you know, empty for so long.
Yes.
And you're seeing that get developed. It gives you that angle of positivity to feel like, hey, maybe things are changing.
Yes.
That maybe this is a good time to be investing in being downtown.
Yes. Yeah, so that's exactly the feeling I have when I become part of the mercantile. I mean, like, all the business owners around me, they want to make this place better. They're not saying that, well, there's a better place, I'm just leaving. They're going to make this place better.
Yeah, and I think the big events, you know, they bring in a lot of people at a time.
Yes.
And the hope is that people will remember that there's fun things to do and great food to go get. You know, Lunchador, the podcast network, we just did a whole bunch of preview work with the Fringe Festival that just ended yesterday.
Yes.
But like seeing all those people coming in for the events had to be like just a very, very good feeling to see everybody coming in to downtown.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that those big events, you know, and right across the street from you where they're doing, they had the big cranes and the acrobatics and, you know, the whole Fringe event, you know, not that far away, like a 5-minute walk from the Sibley building.
Yes.
You know, seeing that these events can happen, you know, I know I struggle to be positive sometimes.
Yes.
And working with Fringe has been such a good thing for me to, you know, hear the artistic journeys and those things, but just that everybody's trying to do something great for Rochester, do something great to make us all feel better about being here.
Yes.
I think we all kind of need that sometimes. And I'm not absent to the, you know, negative things. So this isn't like me trying to be like mindlessly positive.
but, of course.
But seeing something like that has to be like, oh, this was a good decision to be downtown now.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
So I think we're going to take a little bit break and we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about your family spot and then what's coming up next for Yunger and Season's Noodle. And we'll be right back. All right, we're back with the second half of our conversation with Yunger Yan from Season's Noodle. What's the website again, Yunger?
Oh, seasonsnoodle.com, yep.
Just a little bit closer, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, and so make sure you go there. You know, follow the hours on Instagram. What is it, Season's Noodle ROC?
Yes.
On Instagram, follow there. So when the hours change and you get a little more dinner availability, you can go get your noodles at night again. You know, easy parking for the Sibley building as well. So nice street parking out front. But if that's all full, the garage is easy to use as well. It's really not hard. So use the garage. You can walk over and go in that way. You know, lots of availability to get in. Don't be scared about parking downtown. It's real easy. You know, easy parking on the vertical street next to it as well. So definitely go check out Seasons, check out the other restaurants in the Mercantile. It has changed. So different offerings. It's worth going down and doing the whole thing. I kind of want to talk about the kitchen in there as well, because there's also the development kitchen right next to you.
Oh, yeah.
Because that has to be really nice to see all those people developing their own small businesses in there too.
Yes, it's very interesting. It's fun because it changed like every week that I have a chance to talk to different people, different business owner, say they're doing their like lunch special there. Yeah, it is definitely an attraction of the building.
Yeah, and there's, you know, also all that extra space in there too.
Oh yeah.
Kind of lets you, you know, if you ever had to, like you want to do a bigger event, you could, there is more space where you could use that to do bigger event preparation too.
Yeah.
Cause that's like some, you know, those opportunities, I think that's the other thing about being where you are now is it opens up these opportunities to build up the base of the business by doing events and other things that you didn't really have the space to do before.
Yes. Yes.
Cause talking with, you know, I've talked to a lot of food trucks and a lot of, you know, restaurants, and they say that a big part of being able to be consistent is building that part of the business, is building the events and, you know, the catering and the business lunches and all those things to be able to build up that base. Yes. So when, oh, it might be not busy this month, but you have those things to keep you going.
Oh yeah, of course. And also it's a good chance for a large group of people to know about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'm just really excited to see you having the opportunity to be more visible as somebody that, like, I know if I'm telling people about my favorite places in town, because people ask me all the time, what are my favorite restaurants in Rochester? I always say these are my favorite foods, because a restaurant is a different thing, right? Like,
yes.
it has a whole experience of everything. Like when I just think about what is the best foods in Rochester, like your name always comes up, because it's a special thing what you're doing, because you're carrying on, you know, the legacy of the family doing those things, but also, you know, the foods that you love, the foods that you grew up with.
Yes.
And I kind of wanted to touch on, you know, we'll dive back into, you know, seasons in a little bit, but I did want to talk about, because your parents had a restaurant that was running in Fairport, Parenton,
yes,
for a while, and unfortunately that closed, because I really liked that place too. That had to be kind of a tough thing for everybody.
Yes, it was. But for my parents, like, they're feeling that the restaurant work is like too much, that's too much for them.
And okay.
They need some relax. So
was it more of that it was just they couldn't keep up with it anymore?
I'll say both. I mean, they can keep it up. They can, like, work harder, like do more special events to keep it running. But yeah, my mother told me that, like, she's too tired.
Yeah, it was a big space, and, you know, getting people to know about something that is very specific.
Yes.
Right? This isn't what a lot of people know of, you know, there's familiar things, but it was a very specific place.
Yes.
That was very specifically from the Beijing style, you know, doing those kind of, you know, dumplings and noodles and all those things. It does make me sad to see something like that go, because I love the specific.
Yeah.
I find it much more interesting to, you know, to taste those things and taste a vision.
Yes.
Not just the same thing that everybody else is doing.
I
know that's something you've worked a lot on too, is making sure you're giving them something that has this is a clear expression of something.
Yes.
Not just, you can't get this anywhere else.
Yeah, of course.
At least here. You can get it other places.
Oh yeah.
Just not here. So I did want to talk about for a second. I didn't cover it a lot on the show, but I went to, in December, I went to Flushing in New York.
Oh.
Cool. And I loved going there, because it was kind of a special thing where we stayed in a hotel right there, and we could walk down to just amazing things everywhere. And you see different, you know, different regions, different,
yeah,
you know, different styles of noodles, different style of dumplings, or, you know, I had these beautiful, like, silky wontons and chili oil. They're like, oh, the texture was amazing. But it was, I think when I was there, I just felt I wanted everything. I wanted to, you know, just learn so much and be around all these, you know, the communities that are so vibrant to have that. And that's why, like, when I tell people about places, I always push this, because this is, you're expressing something specific. And I hope, you know, with success, that more people want to do that.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, other people want to say, hey, we're going to do, you know, Fuyanese, you know, food more specifically, or do, like, you know, a Hunan place, or do something that is very regional, yes, and maybe offer those specific things because that's, it's part of culture and it's part of understanding a big world of food or a big country of food.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Because it's, you know, it can't be more of the same. More of the same is boring.
So it's like, we'd rather like to say five restaurants doing five totally different authentic food instead of five restaurants doing the exact menu, right?
Yeah, it's boring.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's boring.
Look, and here's the thing, like, I know there's an important culture of, you know, American Chinese restaurants, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It allows many people to get their, to get in and become part of a community and be an important part of a community. But I think we have so many of those, and now we can see a clearer expression of something that means something, not just being here and doing that, but expressing home, expressing, you know, the feelings that you do when you're making your food, because you care about making great food.
Yes.
And it's a lot of work to make this kind of food.
Yes.
Really well.
Yes, but as I always talk to people about this, like, the people will know the difference.
Yeah,
people will know the difference. Like, even if as a restaurant owner, sometimes I'll feel the difference is slight, but every time they will find out the difference. So that really amazed me.
Yeah,
because I can feel that people do react to my work. Like, if I'm working hard to make my noodle better the next week to keep improving it, people will notice that.
Yeah. Well, and it's the little things, right? It's never the big things. Because, you know, some of the flavors might seem familiar, but texture is one of those things that you can't hide. You can't hide that. You can hide flavor, right? To a point.
Yes.
You can fake flavor. But some of those, the textures of a perfectly developed noodle is kind of hard to describe because it has to have this perfect chew. It has to stretch. It has to, all of these things have to come together to make something that exists for a brief time.
Yeah.
And can you describe what to you a perfect noodle is? Can you describe the texture of it, or how does it feel when you're making it, and when you finish, what is the end result like the texture, other things?
Oh, so for me, like, when I make the noodle, it's a little bit hard for me because I'm using English.
Yeah.
So the flour, the dough will fight back.
We
work on the dough.
That would be the gluten development in the dough, the proteins.
Yes.
So you get that stretch.
Yes, when you stretch the dough and try to make the noodle, it's gonna little by little, it's gonna get back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you left the dough there for too long, then the dough will be like very much more softer. It's not gonna fight back anymore.
Yeah. So that's relaxing. So the dough relaxes. It absorbs the other water, and it gets a little bit easier. It's a little softer, which is great for some things,
yes,
like breads, but you actually don't want that for what you're doing.
Yes, because the important thing is that after you cook the noodle, you don't want the noodle to stick together, to become too soft, because eventually the noodle is going to absorb the broth and all the flavor in the noodle. So it's important to make sure you don't wait for too long, and the noodle is still like, the dough is still like, fighting back.
Yeah, so stretch. It has a stretch to it.
Yeah, exactly. And you cook it. Get it out. Put it into cold water immediately to not only wash the starch off, but also the cold water will make the noodle even more chewy.
Oh, it shocks it a little bit.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Oh, it's interesting because that's like, you know, in Italian cooking, they would look at you and like, what are you doing washing off your noodles? We want all that starch, because they use the starch to build the sauces.
Yes.
But that's not the Chinese way.
At least not from the food I used to eat.
For doing this kind of sautéed noodles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that, like, where the sauce, you know, the bigger sauces are built with, like, noodle starch in, like, you know, Roman-style food. Like, this isn't, it's not part of the way these are made most of the time.
Yes, especially when I start to introduce noodle soup, like, you want the soup to be very clear, to stay clear. So you don't want any, you don't want too much starch to make the soup to, like, kind of make the soup not clear anymore.
Yeah. Do you like that clear, clean soup style?
Yeah, I love it.
Because there's something special about that where, you know, I like rich soups with, you know, starch and other things to make them deep. But sometimes there's a, not just clear of, like, you can see through it, but as a clear flavor.
Yeah.
Right? There's a clarity and there's a clean, you can taste everything.
Yes.
You can't hide.
Yep.
When the soup is like that. Yeah. Everything matters. Like, every ingredient matters. And they all work together to make something better than each thing individually.
Yes.
Oh, now I'm hungry.
I mean, I'm a person that I love everything. Like, yeah. I eat almost everything. I love everything. I admire all the good taste and the hard work behind all the food. But for me, like, as a restaurant owner, I want to make sure that I understand what food am I going to provide. It's going to be unique. It's going to be, I'm going to take care of my food. To make it special.
Yeah, and that, yeah. I think that's also, you know, when, I think, like you said earlier, I think people notice when somebody cares.
Yeah.
Because those little things, they might not know what it takes to make it, but those little things that the noodles bounce, that it suits the sauce,
yes,
that it suits the other ingredients, all those things, you might not think about it, but you know it feels different.
Yes.
So when you've been you know, trying other foods, you know, you've had, you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, as you've been developing and going out, have you tried other things that have made you excited about food recently?
Yes. Like, a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of things. I like to try new food. Like I probably said, like, last time, I like fried fish.
Yeah.
I try multiple plates. Yeah. I like pasta as well. I like pasta. So, actually, after trying pasta, it make me more want to make a different kind of noodle. Because there are a lot of good pasta.
Yeah, great places like Fiorella that is doing, you know, amazing work with Roman style pastas.
Oh yeah,
but they're so different.
Yeah, they're different
and great.
Yeah, they're great
and great. Each one is different, right? Your noodles are great and theirs are great, but they are a very different thing.
Yes.
Did you have a chance to try, like, the New Orleans style food that's next to you from Frenchman Street?
Oh yes, I tried them. Tried there like multiple times. I love it.
It's kind of interesting, right? That New Orleans food. Because New Orleans food is it's multicultural.
Yes.
It's coming from so many different places at the same time. When we were doing Nominate, we worked with a place called French Quarter that does that kind of food. And it's so many different cultures because it's French and Spanish and, you know, West African and indigenous and all these things coming together to make this complete thing that could never have existed without all the other things.
Yeah.
It's just a fun food. Every time you taste it, you learn something else about flavor.
Oh yeah.
Cause each thing is so explosive and big.
Yes. Actually, it's kind of like Northern Chinese food.
Yeah.
Like Beijing food. Because Beijing used to be not only the capital of mainland China, but also it used to be the capital of the nomadic tribe from north.
Mm.
So in the past few hundred, or maybe like I would say like over 1,000 years, it used to be in the region that the mainland China, Chinese dynasty, and the northern nomadic tribe, they fighting for. Mm. It's a region that they keep fighting for.
Well, and also, like, trade, too.
Oh, yeah, trade as well.
I mean, like, so many different cultures and things came through because of being on the water is one of the main trade hubs.
Yes.
Like, so many different things came in, and that affects things, too.
Yeah, so if you go to Beijing and if you try the traditional food of Beijing, you will notice that they use a lot of beef and lamb, which is a diet trait from Mongolian and other nomadic tribe.
Yeah, and you often see that too as you get more north and you get colder. In many different cultures, you'll just see more wheat, no more beef, more rich, deep foods.
Yes, exactly.
Which is, it's always kind of interesting when you see that, because it's like, oh, really? There's so much similarity. It always ends up going that way.
Yeah.
And then when you go south, you just see lighter foods and more fish and more.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fascinating to see how similar everything is.
Yes.
And then how different it is at the same time.
Yes, exactly. I think that's the reason I love dumpling and noodle, because you can find dumpling-like food and noodle-like food all around the world.
Yeah.
Every country, every culture have their own dumpling.
Yeah. I think every right-thinking person, every person who knows what good is, loves a dumpling. I mean, like the Polish have pierogies, right? Yeah. And like, what is that? It's a dumpling. It's the same thing. And then, you know, all the, everywhere has that and different versions of it. And it's those things when you see like, oh, everybody found that, you know, putting stuff inside of a good dough and cooking it in some way is amazing, right?
It's a good idea.
It's a great thing.
Yes.
And that, even though we're all, you know, we're all so different and there's so much anger and all these other things, that everybody loves those same things. Everybody loves a noodle. Everybody loves a dumpling. Because every culture has it. Everybody has these things, because these are things that make you feel good.
Yeah, I think that's something we have in common as humans, right?
Yeah. Everybody loves a dumpling. That's a t-shirt if I've ever heard one, Yunger. Oh. Everybody loves dumplings. Oh, and then you have in different languages, everybody loves dumplings. So I guess, I kind of, what I want to end off with is, are you feeling good? Are you feeling excited?
Yes.
How good is that? How good is that to feel better and to feel excited about where you're going?
That's really good. As good as a dumpling.
Oh, well, I think what we're going to do, I think we're going to close out. So, Yunger, can you again put in the plugs for where people can find Seasons Noodle? Where can they check it out online? And then tell them where to find you otherwise.
Oh, yeah. So go to our website, seasonsnoodle.com, or you can just search Seasons Noodle in the browser. And the location is located in the Sibley Building.
Yeah, Sibley Building, Mercantile on Main. You know, check all the hours out there. You know, follow the Instagram so you can see when hours change or new dishes come up. Because if I know anything about you, I know you're always going to keep experimenting. You're always going to try new things.
Yes.
So when there's specials, you can see it there too. So you find different ways to go and, make a trip. You know, go downtown to get some lunch if you have the opportunity. If you are downtown, check out what's going on there now. It's different than what it was. I just wanted to say thank you for, thanks for coming over. I'm really glad that you found a place that is better suited and gives you the opportunity to grow what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me talk with you. Such a great conversation.
Awesome. Well, thank you everybody for listening to the Food About Town podcast. We'll be back next time with more. Definitely want everybody to check out the other shows on the network. If you haven't listened, also we have a show that is Behind the Glass, which runs their gallery at the Mercantile on Main every first Friday. So coming up on first Friday this month, you'll be able to go see some local artists in the gallery. Definitely recommend coming and checking that out. My friends Richard and Quajay and Rob Bell curating that. One of my favorite podcasts to do every month. So check out the Behind the Glass podcast. Go out first Fridays and check that out. And we'll see you next time on the Lunch Hour Podcast Network and Food About Town. Thanks for listening to the Food About Town podcast. If you aren't already subscribed, what are you waiting for? Go to your podcast app of choice and make us your favorite podcast by subscribing and leaving a review if you can. Music for the podcast was created by the fabulous Taurus Savant. You can hear more of his work at taurussavant.bandcamp.com and make your presence known by seeing him perform live. Food About Town is a proud member of the Lunchador Podcast Network. Oh no, here comes McKenneth!
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Noodles are real.